When was the last time you studied phrasal verbs? Maybe you need to catch up with them. Do you see what I did there? We have 10 more phrasal verbs for you on this episode of
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Hello and welcome to Aprender Inglés with Reza and Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
With over 45 years of teaching between us, Reza and I will help you improve your English and
take it to the next level.
How are you doing, Reza?
I'm fine. How are you, Craig?
Very well, thank you. And I'm very excited to be speaking about more phrasal verbs. A lot more excited, I'm sure, than the listeners. But before we do that, let's look at some feedback that we've received from Victoria. Reza, what does Victoria say?
She writes, "Hi, Reza. Hi, Craig. I've been listening to your podcast for a long time, but I've never written any comments. So I think it's time to introduce myself and thank you for all your advices and for all your advices and lessons."
Advices?
Advices. Wrong with that? Advices. Ah, Victoria, advices is uncountable. That means it can't be plural. It's always without S. Thank you for all your advice. Okay, let's go on. "I'm Victoria. I'm from Argentina, but I've been living in Barcelona since 2002. Last week, I had good news. I passed my first certificate of English. That is good news.
Congratulations. Well done. That's fantastic, Victoria. Well done.
I heard a lot of your podcasts and they helped me pass it, but it was 20 phrasal verbs that you must know. The episode I heard the most and the most useful ever. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your excellent job. You should say work. Thanks for your excellent work. Have a nice week, Victoria." Oh, well, thanks, Victoria.
That's fantastic. So because of Victoria's email, we've decided to look at 10 more phrasal verbs that hopefully will help you not only pass the FCE or other Cambridge exam that you're doing, but also give you a bit more knowledge about phrasal verbs that everybody uses in English quite commonly.
And to comment on something specifically that Victoria has pointed out, she said that listening to the podcast definitely helped her pass the exam. Yep. It sounds big-headed of me to say it, but I bet it did. Because guess what? Everybody's saying that the hardest part of the first certificate and the advanced last December was the listening.
Yep.
Everybody's been saying that.
That's
listening
true.
Was the hardest part, and it's the part where they got the lowest marks, eh? The listening. People were even doing better in the writing than the listening. People are finding the listening very difficult, so you really need to practice.
Yep, so listen to as many different podcasts as you can, not only this podcast, but look for other podcasts to listen to and do as much listening as possible in your spare time. So because of Victoria's email, we've decided to speak about more phrasal verbs to help you not only with the first certificate exam, but also with your English in general. Learning phrasal verbs is always a good thing to do because they're so common in English. But before that, we'd like to say a quick thank you to people who have been giving us reviews and stars on iTunes. So a big thank you to Dominic from Spain, also M Sending and Scooby Doo and LNNCDD Linzed, also from Spain, for your reviews. Thank you very, very much. And LNNCDD says that this podcast is his or her favorite. So thank you for your comment. And if you do like this podcast, please go over to iTunes and give us a few stars and even subscribe, because even if you don't actually listen on iTunes, it really, really helps us if you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, because then we become more popular and more people listen and we have a larger community. So thank you to those people who have given us some stars on iTunes. Reza, Javier from Tolosa, our friend Javier, has written to us. What's Javier's doubt this week?
Javier has written, I continue having certain doubts about how to put the order in the second part of some questions. Javier, you should say how to order. You don't need to say put. How to order the second part of some questions. For instance, do you know where she lives? Or do you know where does she live? The first one's right, not the second one. Do you know where she lives is correct, Javier. Or do you know where he is? Or do you know where is he? He's the first one. Do you know where he is? Do you know how many people does it take to do? Or do you know how many people it takes to do? Neither are correct, Javier. But I'm not quite sure what he means by that, Craig. What do you think?
I think it's the second one that's nearly correct. Do you know how many people it takes to do it? So it's the object pronoun that's missing. And I think the problem that Javier seems to be having is with indirect questions. Because if you use the expression, do you know, then you need to change the order. You need to remove the does. And we speak about the rules of indirect questions back in episode 50 with Nicola. So if you go, Javier, go to inglespodcast.com/50, listen to that episode. That would explain the grammar, the changes, and the difference between a direct question, where does she live, and an indirect question, do you know where she lives? And similarly, do you know where he is a direct question. And another example would be, could you tell me where he is, not where is he? So to get the word order right, to know that you take out does, do and does, did and do, Javier, go back to episode 50 and everything will be explained. So thank you for your question. And if you see something or hear something in episode 50 that you do not understand, we'd love to hear from you. So don't hesitate to send us another email.
Now, Craig, we said we'd talk about phrasal verbs. Just to remind the listeners, we've already talked about phrasal verbs. For example, in episode 98, I think it was, we did 20 phrasal verbs that English students should know. That was a very popular episode. Many, many people have downloaded that. It seemed to be very useful.
Yes, because phrasal verbs are quite difficult for learners of English. So to listen to those 20 that we have already spoken about, go back to inglespodcast.com/98.
Before we give you some more phrasal verbs, just in case you're a new listener and you don't know much about phrasal verbs, just to clarify, a phrasal verb is a verb plus a preposition, which must go together with a special meaning. Okay, 10 more phrasal verbs, Craig. Where could we start?
Well, where were you brought up, Reza?
Well, you were brought up in London, weren't you?
Yes, I was, in a suburb of London. I was brought up in Essex, in Ilford, Essex, which is just outside of London.
And I was brought up in Belfast, in Northern Ireland. So we were brought up there. It means that's where we changed from children growing up to become adults.
Mm-hmm. So the phrasal verb is to bring up. So you bring up children.
Ah, yes, that's an important point. You said, I was brought up, not I brought up. Mm-mm. I was brought up, because it's passive. Your parents, your mom, your dad, your parents, they bring you up.
Mm-hmm.
So you are brought up by them. It's passive.
And remember that there are some phrasal verbs that you can separate. So you separate the verb from the particle or the preposition, and you can put the object in the middle. So with bring up, it's a perfect example. My parents brought me up. I cannot say my parents brought up me. My parents brought me up. in London.
Craig, here's another meaning for bring up, because phrasal verbs tend to have more than one meaning. I'll bring it up at the meeting. What's another way of saying that?
I'll discuss it, or I'll suggest it, or I'll put it forward, which is another phrasal verb. I'll introduce the topic, I'll introduce the subject or the question. So you can bring up a topic, you can bring up a question, bring up a subject, which means talk about it. Just talk about it. I'll bring it up at the meeting. There's another meaning, isn't there?
Yes, Craig. The other day, I had a dodgy kebab.
What does dodgy mean?
Dodgy means it wasn't quite right. I think the meat was a bit old and it was off. To go off, which is another phrasal verb, to go off is when food is too old and it's not safe anymore.
Estropearse.
So I had a dodgy kebab and I brought it up an hour later. I brought up the kebab. That means I vomited it.
Yep.
So that's another meaning of bring up. To bring up food is to vomit.
And another example of where the object goes in the middle, because brought it up, the it is the kebab that you had. So you cannot say brought up it, you must say brought it up, or brought the kebab up.
I think we mentioned this in greater detail in previous episodes, but just a quick reminder, usually if you have a pronoun like it, me, him, or her, it goes in the middle, doesn't it? Between the verb and the preposition.
Yes.
Although there are a few exceptions. There are a few exceptions, but generally speaking.
Yeah, that's a guide. It's not a hard and fast rule. It's a guide. Yeah.
Let's go on, phrasal verb, to another one. Let's continue. Go on is continue.
Well, there's one that's very common in a bureaucracy when you go to an office or you have to apply for something. Very often, there's a form that you have to complete. So another way of saying complete a form using a phrasal verb is to fill out or fill in. They mean more or less the same thing, don't they? Yeah. Fill out a form, fill in a form means to complete the details on the form. So, for example, please fill in this form in capital letters, mayúsculas. Please fill in this form, or please fill out this form. So you have to complete it.
It's curious that fill out and fill in have the same meaning, because usually when you change the preposition with a verb, it has a different meaning, like put on, put off, mm-hmm. They're opposites. But in this case, fill out and fill on, fill out and fill in this case, are the same. It's curious.
Yeah, it's strange. That's strange.
Quite capricious.
Yeah. The phrasal verb fill in does have another meaning that you cannot use fill out for. So, for example, if you're off sick next week, maybe our boss will ask me to fill in for you, Reza. So if I fill in for you, I teach your class.
Fill in, you're substituting, yeah?
Substituting, exactly. So to fill in for someone is to do their job or do their work, but you cannot say fill out.
Craig, another very common phrasal verb is to hold up. Hold up. For example, I can't see it. Can you hold it up, please?
Yes.
Can you hold it up? That means, can you hold it higher? Hold it so that I can see it.
So at the moment, I'm holding up the notes to this episode so that Reza can see them, to hold something higher. So that's the literal meaning of hold up.
Craig, here's a sentence I often say. Sorry, I'm late. I was held up. For example, I was held up at work, or I was held up waiting for the bus, or I was held up by the traffic. I was held up. I was delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So if something holds you up, it delays you. So if I was held up, that means I suffered the delay.
So this morning, you were 10 minutes late. That's not too bad. But what held you up this morning?
Finishing my cup of tea.
That's a good reason. I accept that. That's okay. Yeah. Very, very justified.
Unfortunately, it was too hot when I poured it, and I had to wait for it to cool down. Well, Craig, you wouldn't want me to burn my tongue. And can you imagine the podcast if I burnt my tongue? And I was so, you know, I have to have my tongue in perfect condition, Craig, for the podcast. So I had to let the tea cool down. Phrasal verb.
Well, you could have opened your window and held the cup out the window.
Ah.
So if you hold something out, not hold up, but hold out, then you lo coges fuera. So you hold your cup out the window so it gets cooler.
That's a good idea.
And then you wouldn't have been held up.
That's true. That's true.
And there's another meaning for hold up, which is to rob, robar. So you can hold up a bank, for example. They held up the bank, the robbers held up the bank, and they got away with over €250,000. So there's another phrasal verb in that sentence, to get away with, which is escapar. To hold up is also a noun. So you can say, last week there was a hold up at our local bank. I had a student once who was in a bank during a holdup in
really?
Valencia.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Frightening, no?
He works in a bank and the bank was held up and he was working there at the time. And they came in with guns, they stole the money, and they got away with it. They didn't
get
catch
away
them.
With something. There's another phrase.
There's another phrase.
They escaped.
Escapar, with, yeah, to get away. They got away with the money. They held up the bank and they got away with the money.
Craig, do you think it's a true story or do you think he made it up?
That's another phrasal verb, make up, inventar. No, I believe him. It was a lesson where we were saying strange things that happened to us. And when he told that story, everybody was amazed that he was in a hold up.
So he didn't make it up. That's our next phrasal verb.
Oh, it is. You're ahead of me.
Yeah. That's why I said it. Well, it's not potluck. I do believe in trying to link things as best as I can.
I'm still sleeping. That's my mistake.
So to make up is a common and important phrasal verb. That's why I brought it up, because to
brought
make
it up.
Yeah, you see what I did there? To make up can mean to invent a story. So Craig says his student really does work in a bank. He didn't make it up. Yeah. But imagine somebody said to you, I saw Tom Cruise in Mercadona.
In Mercadona? Nah. Tom Cruise doesn't go shopping in Mercadona. Nah. No. Court Inglés, maybe. Mercadona, no.
Loewe, for sure, I believe. Or Louis Vuitton, but Mercadona, I don't know. I think he made it up,
Yep. You
might say, if someone said that.
So again, another separable phrasal verb, another phrasal verb where the pronoun goes in the middle, can go in the middle. So he made it up. He made it up. It's not true.
Craig, are you going to make yourself up and put on a dress?
I beg your pardon?
No, you're not going to. I'm asking Craig if he's going to make himself up.
Strange as it may seem, I'm not a cross-dresser. I don't wear dresses and makeup. Makeup is maquillaje. So the phrasal verb to make up or to make yourself up means to put on makeup. Put on, of course, is another phrasal verb. Poner. Put on makeup. And makeup here is the noun. So makeup can be a noun and a verb. Have you ever made yourself up?
No.
For a fancy dress party?
I haven't, actually.
Me neither.
Well, no.
My dad used to make up every Christmas. Do you remember Shirley Bassey?
Yeah.
He used to have a Christmas show where he sang or mimed. He didn't sing. He put a Shirley Bassey record on, or music, playback in Spanish, isn't it, where you mime to a singer. So he mimed to Shirley Bassey songs and he made up as Shirley Bassey with a dress, with makeup, with a wig. Peluca is a wig.
Was he convincing?
He was very good. Yeah, he was. I remember I was very, very small at the time, very young, but I remember everybody loved the show and it was very, very popular. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe he just enjoyed wearing the dress. Sorry, Dad.
Craig, as you know, I don't have a very good memory for such things. And I often end up saying to Craig, I'm sorry, I forgot your birthday. How can I make it up to you? I often forget to buy him a card or to say happy birthday or something like that. And I want to make it up to him. I want to say sorry. I want to do something to show that I'm sorry that I've done something bad or that I haven't done something that I should to make it up.
It's like the school pass, isn't it? To make up for something or you want to make it up. You can buy someone flowers if you have an argument with your wife or your girlfriend. You can make it up to her by buying flowers, by taking her to dinner, for example.
Or Craig, what's the best way of all to make up if you've had an argument with your girlfriend? What's the best and most traditional way of making it up with your girlfriend?
Buy her something nice. Apologize.
Let's leave it at that. Yeah, this some under 18s perhaps listen to this show. Yeah, there are other ways to make it up to her. But.
Let's keep it clean.
Yeah. Okay. Swiftly moving on.
Cut down on is our next phrasal verb. Number 5, to cut down on means reduce. So, for example, last year and the year before in 2015, 2016, I went to a lot of conferences. I spent money on traveling and paying for conferences, for teaching conferences, podcasting conferences. This year, however, in 2017, I've cut down on the money I spend on conferences. So I'm going to spend less this year. I'm going to cut down on the money I spend on conferences. Are you cutting down on anything this year?
No.
No? No. You're not cutting down on food?
No.
On,
really.
On drink?
No, not at all. No.
Good for you.
And I'm certainly not cutting down on podcasting.
That's
there
good.
Will be one podcast a week every Sunday. Craig and I have no plans to cut down on the number of podcasts. You'll get your once weekly podcast. Craig, you have cut down on the chocolate you eat, and the results have been great. Craig is looking very good. He's looking very slim, very healthy, because he's cut down on certain things in his diet, including chocolate. Isn't that right?
Thank you for the compliment. Are you trying to make it up to me for something?
Yeah, for forgetting his birthday.
Yeah, thanks. No, I haven't cut down on chocolate. I've cut down on other food. But I have a secret place where I hide my chocolate in the house. But I haven't cut down on chocolate.
You better not bring that up now, because people might be listening and they'll know where your stash is.
You know, I have a secret stash. A stash is a secret place where you keep something that only you know about. So you can stash your money or stash your chocolate somewhere.
Ah, so now, so Craig, only Craig knows, and approximately 10,000 more people know. He has a stash.
Speaking of cutting down on things, if you are studying English, if you're paying to study English at an expensive language academy, you could cut down on the money you're spending by using our sponsors, italki. So if you go to their website, you'll see that there is a selection of English teachers that you could speak with and have lessons with using Skype on the internet. And you study at home when it's convenient for you. The thing is, because there's no language school in the middle, very often the classes are a lot more inexpensive than you would be paying at an expensive language academy. And of course, you're studying when you have time available. So depending on where your teacher lives, if they live in Spain, in America, in Australia, North America, Australia, wherever, then you can find a teacher that fits with your study timetable. If you'd like more details, you can go to inglespodcast.com/italki, and there you'll find a place to get more information and also 100 italki credits, which is about one free lesson if you decide to join and sign up through our webpage. And Reza and I would like to say thank you to italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Well, Craig, let's go on with our next phrasal verb, to get over. If I asked you, have you got over your cold yet?
Well, I was going to ask you that question because you had a cold last week. Yeah, a slight cold. Have you got over it?
Yes, it was only a very slight cold, nothing serious. So I've already got over. I've already recovered. Mm-hmm. I've already got over it. Yeah.
Another example, I can't get over what Dave said about Sally. That kind of means I can't get over it. I can't really believe it. Like I discovered something and it's difficult for me to accept or believe. I can't get over it. I can't get over what I heard.
a lot of people can't get over the fact that Donald Trump won the elections. They really didn't expect it. It was a big surprise and they can't get over it.
A lot of people can't get over the fact that the UK voted to leave Europe. It's difficult to get over the news. It's difficult to believe it, to accept it. And of course, with relationships and emotional crises that you have in your life, you have to get over them. You have to recover and continue with your life. So another example, it took me a long time to get over breaking up with my first girlfriend.
Is that true, Craig?
Yeah, although it was me that broke up with her. Break up, of course, is another phrasal verb. Break up or split up with is to finish a relationship. So with my first girlfriend, we were together for 2 years and then I wanted to go traveling. So I broke up with her and it was a very, very difficult decision. And it took me a long time to get over making that decision and breaking up with her. But I think it was the right decision.
Craig, to catch up with something or someone is a common phrasal verb. Can you think of any examples?
Ponerse al día. I need to catch up with some work. Actually, there's a lot of things I need to catch up with. I need to catch up with editing podcasts. I need to catch up with, we've got a presentation coming up. I need to catch up with doing the slides. I need to catch up with marking for my lessons at the school. There's so much work I need to catch up with. Do you need to catch up with anything?
Yeah, some work, some correction. And preparing for that talk we're going to give on the podcast. Yeah.
Also, if you see somebody to find out the news, things that have been happening to that person, you could say, we should get together, another phrasal verb. We should meet, we should get together and catch up over a beer or two. So to catch up means I tell you my news, you tell me your news, and we catch up with each other.
That expression is common in Britain, but it's even more common in America. It's a very common expression, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about this? He was far behind the other runners, but eventually caught up with them near the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that there is a physical example of catch up, to physically catch up. He was a long distance behind, but he caught up. He drew level with them. And the distance that he was behind disappeared when he caught up with them.
And very often when I'm driving my car and my dad is driving his car and we're going somewhere together, we have two cars and he goes first and he's quite a fast driver. So he says, oh, follow me, I'll show you the way. So he drives away very fast and I don't drive very quickly. So I often have to catch up with him. Like he won't wait for me. So he just goes and I have to constantly catch up with him in the car so that I'm more or less at the same level as him on the road to catch up with. To throw away is our next phrasal verb, number 8, to throw away. Reza, I work really hard for my money, as you do too. I don't like throwing it away.
You don't like wasting it. You don't like spending it stupidly or for no good reason. Tirarlo,
yeah. Malgastar. What kind of things can people throw, not you, but personally, what kind of things can people throw money away on?
Well, in my opinion, I feel sorry for them, but people who are hooked on gambling.
What does hooked on mean?
Hooked means enganchado, like gancho, hook. So hooked on, hook is gancho. People are hooked on gambling. They're throwing their money away because what do you get in return? Nothing. You spend money, you lose it, and it's all over in a few seconds. It really is throwing it away.
You can throw money away on drink, on drugs, on sex, on shopping, tontamente. If you buy things you don't need, you can throw money away. Do you throw money away on anything?
Occasionally, I waste a bit of money on food. Sometimes I feel like treating myself and I'll buy some expensive food, but I do enjoy it. So I don't consider it completely throwing it away.
But do you ever buy food and you buy too much and you don't eat it, then you have to throw the food away?
Ah, okay. But that's another meaning of throw away, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a more physical meaning, a literal meaning, because the food's bad, I have to put it in the rubbish. Yeah. I can't use it.
It's not like you take 20 euros and throw the 20 euros in the waste paper basket. Right. You don't do that.
No. Right. So that's really another use of throw. I guess it's connected, but that's a more literal use, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes, occasionally I have to throw food away. For example, milk, if I bought too much milk and I don't use it. But I really hate having to throw food away. I don't like it.
Me neither.
It's not a good idea, I think, when there's so many starving people in the world to be throwing food away.
Mm-hmm. A collocation with throwaway is an opportunity. You can throw away an opportunity if somebody offers you something, maybe a new job, and you refuse it, maybe you throw away an opportunity or a golden opportunity. Don't throw away golden opportunities. You have to accept opportunities and take a chance sometimes. What's number nine, Reza?
Number nine is a very common expression used by native speakers, but I find that foreigners don't use it much. To set up, it has a couple of different uses. For example, we need to set up a meeting. Set up a meeting means to arrange. Yeah. So it's a very typical collocation for things like meeting. Set up a meeting, set up a committee, something like that.
Yeah, because we had to set up this podcasting session. So we arranged for you to come here today so that we could record. So we set up the recording session. We arranged it. Also, you could set up a new device. It's also a common use. If you buy a new TV, if you buy a new mobile phone, for example, before you start using it, you have to set it up, which means configure it. Did you have to set up your TV when you bought it?
Yes, it was quite easy, but I did. I had to tune in the different channels to set it up.
Another meaning of set up is montar. For example, when you speak about a company or a business, you set up a business. For example, there's a new business, a new English teaching business here in Valencia, and it was set up last week. Somebody started a new business here last week.
Or Mike is setting up a new company in his hometown. Mm-hmm. He's setting it up. He's starting.
And our final phrasal verb this week, number 10, to do up. One meaning is your shoelace, cordon. So you can do up your shoelace.
It means to tie it, yeah.
In this sense, it means, yeah, exactly. It's undone, suelto. So do it up. Again, another phrasal verb that you can separate. Do your shoelace up. And you can use it for any clothes. Do your jacket up.
That would mean the buttons?
Do the buttons up, yeah. Do
your fly up?
Do your fly up. What's your fly?
Your fly is your zip, la cremallera. Fly, F-L-Y, is a colloquial expression for zip, Z-I-P, la cremallera. Do your fly up. Do your zip up.
Do your trousers up. It's embarrassing.
Also, do your belt up. Mm-hmm. That means fasten or, no, it doesn't. It means tighten your belt, beg your pardon.
Yep. And another meaning of do up is decorate, formar. So when are you going to do up your flat?
No comment. No comment.
That's my Mickey Mouse question.
Yes, that's Craig's revenge on me.
For new listeners, Reza often embarrasses me by asking me about Mickey Mouse. I don't know why to this day. So my way of getting back at someone, another phrasal verb is to devolverlo, to return. Yeah. An embarrassing question is, when are you going to do up your flat?
Yes, that's my Achilles heel, my weak point.
The never-ending saga of Reza's flat that needs to be done up, needs to be decorated. So that's our 10 phrasal verbs. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast and if you learned anything from today. And we'd love to hear from you. Did you find these phrasal verbs useful? And would you like us to speak about some more in the future? Let us know what you think. And also let us know if you have any ideas for a future episode. We'd love to hear your voice message, which you can leave at SpeakPipe. That's SpeakPipe.com/Inglés Podcast. Remember, all the notes from this episode can be found at inglespodcast.com/144. And you can send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
or to me, Reza, that's BelfastReza@gmail.com.
And as usual, we'd like to thank our lovely sponsors, Reza, who are?
Lara, Carlos, Thara, Mamin, Juan, Sarah, Corey Finneran from Ivy Envy Podcast, Manuel, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, Manuel, Mariel, Maite, Lorena, and Pedro.
Remember, if you'd like to join our Patreon community, you can do so at patreon.com/inglespodcast. And thank you so much for those who are contributing to get our show notes for every episode, from episode one, to get all our show note transcriptions written in full. In the meantime, we have someone who is very kindly transcribing episodes one by one, and so far we have episodes 131, 134, 135, 136, and now 137. So we have full transcriptions available for those five episodes. A huge thank you to Arminda from Madrid, who is continuing very kindly to do that for us in her free time. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Arminda.
Reza, what are we going to speak about next week?
Next week, we're going to speak about need and dare. So, atrévete, atrévete. We dare you to listen to us next week.
We think you need to listen to that episode. Until next week, thank you for listening. It's goodbye from Reza.
And it's goodbye from Craig and Vicky.
Go and do up your flat. The music in this podcast is by Pitts, and the track is called See You Later.